I absolutely love Bible stories like the one we've just heard. For me, it really conjures up memories of Sunday school, escaping the stale and boring services with my friends and hearing stories of whales and babies in mangers. And then we'd do some activity, colouring in normally. In this instance, probably a series of cartoon pictures that we'd colour in, and then moments later we'd cut it out and stick it down very precisely for no particular reason. It was all very fun and innocent. In the Bible of children, the blind see, the lame walk, fish magically multiply, and God becomes this figure of wonder and mystery. He works to save and to perform miracles. It presents such a hopeful and reassuring image. And then we grow older, and we encounter things which challenge this understanding of God. We may become disappointed, even at times filled with rage, that the God of Sunday school was a fake. We were cheated. Maybe we feel less angry. Maybe we're just amused by the simplicity with which we once understood God, and maybe excited to begin to understand the complexities that underpin these stories. This morning I want to think about how God grows with us, and how these early encounters with him in Sunday school are actually very important and not so inaccurate. How we might take that naive enthusiasm for the wonder of God into our encounters with him as adults. The reading we heard from Acts was chosen to explore the idea of encountering God. Here, Peter and John first meet another human being, like you or I, somebody in need. Then, in that encounter, they experience God's power. More than that, they invite him into that moment. However, it's not by coincidence or chance, and I want to look at how these events unfold. Firstly, we hear that Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock, as was customary. Now, I work in a hospital, and directly next door to my office is a room called the Multi-Faith Room. Maybe there's spaces like this in the places you work. It's a deliberately sparse place so as to offer a moment of quiet for people of all faiths to use however they need. I've never been in there. I am a Christian, and I do pray, and therefore this place was in part designed for me. And I definitely have lots of moments during the day when I wish I could pray. I meet people and I hear stories that, despite qualifications and experience, I just feel overwhelmed by and just too small to make any change. So I have been known to grab a quick prayer as I go to get my next client or when I'm making a coffee, but I've never stopped and entered that room, set out for prayer, that's directly next door to my office. On the other hand, my Muslim colleagues use the room routinely. They know when they will pray and how. And this was true of our Christian ancestors. Prayer was once punctuated throughout the day. And my Muslim colleagues today, as Peter and John in the story, were making a space to encounter God through prayer. Not just in a moment of crisis or gratitude, but deliberately and routinely inviting God into their lives to listen to him and to talk with him. In much the same way as that predictable, reassuring routine of Sunday school, can we sit down with God? What might happen if we do? For Peter and John, their routine meeting with God led to an extraordinary encounter. However, as with the prayer, it doesn't seem like it was chance that saw these events unfold. The lame man is said to have been put by the temple every day. He's not there by chance. He was placed in their path. Just returning to my work life, this image of the lame man makes me think of my walk from Victoria Station, where I face tents lining the road, sleeping bags, and cardboard sleeping mats. It's a really shameful and painful encounter as I most often just walk by. These people are put in my path and in the path of the others that walk past. And there have been occasions when I've stopped and I've interacted with these rough sleepers. I'm sure we all have. Maybe a smile, a chat, an offer of help. But I don't stop every time. Not even most of the time. And there are many reasons why I don't. I'm busy, or I don't think I can offer any help, or that person's sleeping. But in truth, the reason I don't stop is because of fear. I just don't feel equipped. I feel ashamed. And those same feelings of inadequacy that I have with my clients at work, as with these encounters on the way in, I'm forgetting something really important. I'm not alone in those encounters. God is with me. He is with all of us in each interaction that we have with one another. We're a sort of relational conduit to God, to his power and his love. So how does Peter manage this encounter with the lame man? He starts by just acknowledging his inability, saying he doesn't have any money. But he's not overcome by that powerlessness. What he says is, "What I have, I give you." And then he asks the man to look him directly in the eye, and he holds out his hand. And this is the goose pimples moment for me. Peter humbles himself and offers himself, just one human to another. And I think this is where God comes alive in this story, way before we've heard anything about a miracle. Peter steps out and he responds differently to the others. He relates to the lame man. He demonstrates a huge act of love. He looks the lame man directly in the eye. This is so hard for us to do at the best of times. To see and be seen can feel so exposing. No more so when it's two people who seem so far apart in their positions in the world. But Peter doesn't shy away. He makes a deep connection. God unites them in this moment of fellowship. The interaction is more than that lame man could ever have expected. And then what follows, even more so. What is so exciting about the next moment, save the miracle itself, is that Peter has such conviction that God will intervene, that Jesus, acting through him, is going to heal this man. He acts with the certainty of those children in Sunday school. He just knows that if he falls over, his parents are going to catch him. And if he wishes, his dreams will come true. In offering his hand, Peter offers the man Jesus' healing and restoration. He acts in Jesus' name. I think what this story is teaching us is that we too can have faith in God's power in our lives. We may not always be able to perform such miracles, but we can create those deep and meaningful connections with others, just confidently pointing people to Jesus and praying, knowing that the power to heal and restore comes from Jesus. A final important aspect about this story is where it takes place. As I mentioned before, Peter's on the way to the temple to continue that tradition of prayer in that place. However, Jesus has implied that God's work would soon see worship removed from the temple. And the revelation of this miracle outside the temple shows that God is breaking free from the institutions. The good news of Jesus is open for anyone and everyone. Earlier, perhaps a bit unfairly, I let you know how boring I found church as a child. And I think I was missing something important that I now get as an adult. It's an easy, reassuring, comforting place each week when I come here. But I do know that the challenges that I face to my faith and to my living out God's message of love very rarely happen when I'm here. And this story is a reminder to us that now, as then, we have to work hard to reach those people in need, to share our faith with others, to pray into the lives of those with whom we may not have an easy relationship. We must look straight into the eyes of those in need. We must hold out our hands to them, not just wait for the intercessions on a Sunday. I don't believe that miracles can happen unless we follow Peter and John's lead. Look for those in our path and really relate to them. Me and my peers in Sunday school were put into the path of our teacher, Veronica, that I should have such a warm and comforting, strong role model in those early encounters with God was not a coincidence. God was working through her to create magical moments, and it was right at that stage of innocence and wonder that that's how I should share his love and power. It was just an amazing blessing. Something I'm going to try to remember when Reuben comes out of creche later with some sticky, scribbled thing that he's created. He's actually just walked fresh from an encounter with God. One that I pray, here he is, good timing, Reuben. One that I pray he holds on to for the rest of his life and his relationship with God. And I pray for myself and for all of us here that we continue to marvel at God's power, that in our own sticky, messy encounters, we can call on God's presence and hold tight on the conviction that God can work miracles.